Thank you, Kristen. Some people might not have background on Paul Hoang. He first came to our church in 2005. He had just finished his second year at Columbia Seminary, which is one of our Presbyterian seminaries, and wanted to do a one-year internship before graduating. So he came here for a year, and we had a great time together, learned a lot. We were just starting as Church of All Nations in that time. Went back, finished his senior year, and received his Master of Divinity, but felt like he needed a little more training, so he came back. That's what I thought. while he was here, training some more, he also fell in love with Tao, one of our wonderful members, and they eventually got married right here. And then we sent Paul to Houston, where he got ordained in the Presbytery of New Covenant, which is a Houston area, and ministered faithfully for 6 years, doing their youth ministry and adult ministry in the Korean immigrant church context, but raised up a whole generation of Hispanic and other multicultural youth that live right in the neighborhood. They came back here to make a life for their children, and this family actually has been living with us for almost a year and a half now in our home, and it's been a wonderful adventure to have two little ones in our house every day, a five-year-old and one and a half, and to see them grow up. And he has been serving for the past year as a chaplain at Prairie Care, which is a psychological, what is it? Mental health clinic with a hospital and a number of sites around the Twin Cities. And the wonderful thing is that Paul and Dana are both full-time chaplains for that group, which is really, really exciting. So he continues to minister as a chaplain, and he, along with many others in our church, serve out of their good hearts as volunteer pastors in our church. So grateful for now 12 years relationship between Paul and our church, and eager to hear his insights and how the Lord has spoken to him through this text. Paul.
Thank you, Pastor Jen, for a wonderful introduction. I'm grateful to be here with all of you guys. Good morning. I'm excited to share that word with you all today. And as is customary in our with our preachers, we draw from the lectionary text, and today happens to be another lectionary reading. So Matthew 20, 1 through 16, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. So Jesus has gathered his disciples and is teaching them, and in a way, this is kind of some of his last teachings before he goes to Jerusalem. And so I think that he's trying to do his best teaching in a way to get them ready for what's ahead, for his eventual trial and for crucifixion. And in this text, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like the landowner." The landowner that goes out, he has a vineyard. He goes out to the streets and the marketplaces to look for day laborers to work in his vineyard. So he goes out as the working day starts early at 6 o'clock, sunrise, and then he grabs a couple of them and said, "Hey, you know, why don't you come work at my vineyard and I'll give you a daily wage." And then he goes out again at 9 o'clock, noon and 3 o'clock, and says, "Hey, why don't you come work in my vineyard? I need more help." And this time he says, "I will give you what is right." Right? And then at the last hour, at 5 o'clock, before the working day ends, he goes out and sees these people that are not working, that are idle, and says, "Go work in my vineyard." He doesn't say, you know, how much I'm going to pay you, you know, whether it is a daily wage or what is right, just go work in my vineyard. And so he goes, and so they go. And they work, and then at the end of the day, the landowner gathers his people, his workers, from the first hires to the last, and starts paying them, starting with the last first. And then, so the people that worked only 1 hour comes, and then he pays them a daily wage. And then so forth, all the way down to the first hires. The first hires, during this process, are thinking, all right, the people that only work 1 hour are getting a daily wage. So hopefully, you know, he'll pay us more. You know, we worked out in the scorching heat. You know, we did back-breaking labor. And so, you know, we deserve at least more than a daily wage, right? If, you know, the last hires got that. So the landowner comes and pays them a daily wage. And so they're grumbling. They're frustrated. They're like, what? You know, that makes no sense. How come you pay us the same amount as the last hires? We did so much work for you. And then the landowner's reply is, well, you know, isn't that what I promised you from the beginning? That I will pay you a daily wage? Why are you complaining? Don't I have the right to do with my money how I choose? So here, take your wage and go. Do you think anyone is reacting out of codependence here? Problem starts with these first hires making comparisons. You know, before they started making comparisons, they were actually happy, right? We can imagine them, ooh, you know, I'm the first ones to get hired, let's go work, and then I'm gonna have daily wage to bring to home to my family, to provide for my family, put dinner on the table. But then at the end of the day, when they start making comparisons, that's when they go from being happy to unhappy, right? Simply put. This is just simply called codependent reactivity, right? Instead of being differentiated individuals, they became kind of poor in their mindset as they compared. Now, is this type of codependence familiar to any of you? Whether it is our life at work, church, home, or even in parenting, as we talked about last week, I believe this parable can provide a lesson to all areas of life and human relationships. For instance, at a workplace, some of us may fall into a codependent reactivity in comparing ourselves to our coworkers. Am I doing a good job compared to my peer? Am I creative enough? Am I achieving enough? Or am I doing a little bit better? Am I a little bit more special than my next coworker? Who does my boss favor, me or the next guy? Am I moving ahead? And so forth, right? All of this causes us worry unnecessarily. Let me give you further context. Like many of you, I grew up in a family that might not be so healthy, right? I grew up in an unhealthy, codependent family. And when I heard Pastor Jin talk about the six tragic values that were passed down to me, I was like, you know, every one of them were passed down to me in my family, unfortunately. Breaking this pattern of codependence for me, as Pastor Jun shared, started with my internship at CAN 12 years ago. Because 12 years ago, I came not exactly knowing what it will be like, but knowing that I would have to follow Jesus Christ, and knowing that I would follow pastor and mentor and the teachings of this congregation to further my own discipleship, to further my own pastoral character formation, to be the pastor that God has called me to be. And one of the major ways was sharing my life testimony, and that was a breakthrough for me in many ways, a life testimony that included, some of the traumas of upbringing, coming from a divorced home, experiencing abuse from parents, sexual abuse from a neighbor that I trusted as a father figure, just broken trust and hurt and trauma that's been playing out. Now, my parents weren't so worried about me sharing this testimony to the congregation, but what got them really upset was when I put it online for the whole larger public to see. My dad is also a pastor at a Korean church, and Korean culture, very shame-based culture, to expose something like that, dirty secrets of the family, was just heartbreaking for them. It eventually led to even like a cutoff time for me, where I didn't talk to my parents for 2 years, dealing with that. Now, fast forward 12 years later, I mean, obviously we have reconciled, my parents and I, a lot has happened. Got married to Tao, we're raising our two sons here in this beautiful community at Cannes. I can humbly say to you today that I still, in some ways, even though I've worked a lot in working through my codependent issues, I still struggle with it in different areas of my life. It comes out in parenting, for example. As parents, Tao, my wife, is definitely more firm, disciplinary, and I am more gentle in the way that I do things, but kind of lax, you know, like gentle. And one thing that I've been learning is that gentleness should come out of firmness, from structure, from setting boundaries. Unfortunately, growing up, the only examples I had were violent, angry dad, or emotionally manipulative stepmom. And so for me, one of my fears is always, if I kind of lose it, then I'll be abusive towards my son. So I kind of definitely lean towards gentleness, in some ways too much, where my kid can act up. He's a sweet kid, he's a very sweet kid, but in times like when he started school, this fall as a kindergartner, Aaron being used to being with us all these years, 5 years, going to a school for 8 full hour days is a tough situation. And so there are times when we deal with those kind of issues where it reminds me that I need to be more firm. Another part of my gentleness comes out of the fact that, you know, at times when I was growing up, I hated my father, I was angry at my father, frustrated. And so I promised myself that I would not do the same. I would not be as controlling, that I would not be as hard disciplinary as he was, or even physically abusive as he was. That I was going to be different, that I was gonna show compassion towards my kids when I grow up and have kids one day, that I will care for them, I would spend time with them and be emotionally present. But it just went to the other extreme at one point. So it's finding the balance, right? Many of us grew up in unhealthy families and they passed on unhealthy values onto us. We can't change the past, but we can definitely change the future. Also, some of us may feel guilty or ashamed for instilling all these unhealthy values to our children that are now adults, right? The truth is, there is hope for all of us. Whether as children, parents, coworkers, church members, caught up in unhealthy codependence, we can all learn to be better, and we can learn to be interdependent that aims for healthy attachment and eventually maturity. And even if our children are in their 20s and 30s, I believe that parenting doesn't stop, right? That we are parents lifetime. And it doesn't stop when a child turns 18, but it continues. So how do you learn to show love and care in a healthy way? Family systems theorists would say that it's never too late to resolve family regression. It only takes one parent or child to take a stand for a higher self that remains connected to the relationships and is willing to work through those issues, right? Edwin Friedman said in his book, A Failure of Nerve, In parenting, the critical issues in raising children have far less to do with proper technique than with the nature of the parent's presence and type of the emotional processes they engender. So he goes on to talk about how, like, if you have trauma as a parent, sometimes that, you know, if that's not worked out, we may pass that on to our children. Pastor Jen also talked about that in one of his values, that to recognize that even our children can trigger. And so it's imperative that we find constructive outlets for detriggering. I've seen this kind of happen in the work with a kid that I've been working at in one of the programs. And this resident, she has a very contentious background with her mother. And oftentimes when they're meeting or coming to visit, like something will happen, something will blow up. They're both physically and verbally aggressive, and so usually one of them will end up leaving the room. This resident has told all the staff, hey, once I'm done with my programming here, I'm gonna leave my mom's house, I'm gonna cut off, I'm gonna go as far as I can to a different state, right? The interesting thing is, this is nothing new in the family system, in that her mom did the same years ago, moving away from their family of origin because of a conflict they had with the resident's grandparents. So it's a pattern that happens, right? Symptoms are passed down from generation to generation. The title of our sermon today is The True Measure of Our Worth, right? So how does that apply to the sermon about codependence and all of that? Going back to our text today, we see the day laborers were codependent by comparing themselves with others that started work at the end of the day, but still came to receive the same day's wage. These complaining laborers, they weren't differentiated enough. They did not focus on their own work. They measured their worth in comparison with the other coworkers. But a differentiated worker, how would that look different? A differentiated worker would have found their worth in God and would have not needed to feel insecure about the work that they did by comparing themselves with another. They would have actually thanked the landowner and said, thank you for the opportunity you've given me to work, and, you know, blessings on you, and move on. So the true measure of our worth is not how we stand in comparison to another person, whether we are a bit more special than others, or if we have achieved something and made success for ourselves. Rather, our true worth is rooted on earth as it is in heaven. As said in our Lord's Prayer, we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We are grounded in heaven, where our Creator God made us in God's image, and grounded on earth. That is the ground that we stand on. For we are dust, and to dust we shall return. The earth is where we came from. The earth can hold us. The earth cares for us. And so we are very much part of this earth, and we're called to be faithful stewards of it. And we are also grounded in our church community that loves us and nurtures us in our faith. We come at least once a week to be reminded of our Lord's love for us through his body, the church. Whenever we walk through these doors, we should remember without a shadow of a doubt that we are loved. And we are deeply and unconditionally loved, that there is no doubt to that. And if we know that we are deeply and unconditionally loved, there is nothing to fear. There is nothing to worry about. There is nothing to feel insecure about. Because God is good and we are good in his image. And with this assurance of God's love, we can do all things with confidence. Just want to say I love you all, and I love this congregation. And in so many ways, I am not I feel like I am able to stand here before you today because you all have had an imprint in my life, starting from 12 years ago to where I am now. And what a blessing it is to share in this life together with you and to walk this journey. We live in uncertain times, and we live in chaotic times. But whenever I come here, I know that God is good, that I am safe, right? And that you all are my brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, grandmothers and grandfathers to me, and I am also to you. So may we be reminded of what is our true worth? Where does it come from? How do we measure it? How do we find grounding on heaven, in heaven and on earth? How do we learn to not compare ourselves endlessly, right? The culture here that we live in, everything about it makes us compare and contrast, make us just run a rat race till we are sick. And then we're every inch of everything, every part of us is squeezed out for this empire. That is truly not the way to live. So we come here and we are reminded of God's love. And knowing that, we can also operate out of generosity, right? If we are secure in ourselves, we can be generous unto others. We can be generous unto our coworkers. We can be generous unto one another here. We can be generous unto our children endlessly. So brothers and sisters in Christ, may we live into this wonderful calling that God has for each of us in our church. May we work on our codependence, recognize our traumas, our triggers, our reactivity, and learn to be more differentiated individuals that stop comparing ourselves to others. Find our true worth in God. May we be healthy parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters that raise our young to also be differentiated, mature individuals for God's kingdom, those that will be healers for God's kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for the ways that you have blessed us enormously, abundantly. How sad it is that we often forget that you are so good and that we have everything that we need, that there is no worry, that we don't need to be insecure about anything because you have us in your hands. Help us to learn from this parable that you taught us, you taught your disciples, that you pour out your generosity unto all, to those that come first, to those that come last, and that you are the one that fills us with everything, and so we need not to compare. We need not to be codependent, but just to be dependent on you. We thank you for this loving community and for the work and the amazing work our church is doing within and outside these walls. May you continue to guide us and bless us along the way. We pray all these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.